is Kevin Hardwick. Kevin, good morning. Welcome to Hardline.
Good morning, Joe. Thank you. I don't want to hijack your show or take it back, but if I could exercise a point of personal privilege, I just thought I'd take a moment and mark the passing of John LaFalce, former Congressman John LaFalce. We learned about his death yesterday. You know, in addition to being my congressman for many years, he was a proud alumnus of Canisius College, and I mean a proud alumnus of Canisius College. He would oftentimes come to my classes and give freely of his time talking to my students, and we certainly were grateful for that. He also, I didn't realize till a year ago when a PBS documentary came out about the Love Canal crisis. And if anybody hasn't seen it, it's on YouTube. It's called Poison Ground. It's 2 hours, but it's 2 hours well spent, especially for people around here who remember that. I wasn't here then. I didn't come here till the fall of 89 to take the job with Canisius. This was the late 70s. But John LaFalce, in this documentary, was one of the heroes. He came, he was one of the few public officials who listened to those people and who worked to resolve the problem there. And certainly they were grateful, and we all should be. And, you know, we've lost a great man. Part of my Sunday morning regimen, in addition to listening to Hardline, is I begin by watching Sunday Today with Willie Geist. And my favorite segment of that is a segment that occurs every week near the end called A Life Well Lived, where they profile someone who has recently died. And I'm going to reach out to that program and suggest that John LaFalce would be good for that. You know, I mean, the world is going to continue to turn in his absence, but it's a better world because of all that he did. Thanks, Joe, for that that opportunity.
Well, Kevin, I was going to ask you, so I'm glad that you answered it.
Well, you know, and I'm sure that David and Tom and others will mention it in their programs tomorrow, and you may have something. You'll definitely have something on the morning news. But you know, he was huge, and left a mark, a positive mark in this area. A true public servant.
Now let's focus on your office, Kevin, the comptroller's mm-hmm. office. You ran 4 years ago for this office. One, obviously, you're finishing up your first term. Looking back, Kevin, why do you want a second term in the comptroller's office?
Well, I think as an incumbent, I'm running on my record, and I think it's an excellent record to run upon. And I think that we've done a good job, and I think there's still more to do. You know, I would like to think we're just getting started. Between our investments and our audits, we have either made or saved the county a lot of money. And as I like to talk about over and over again, every dollar that we can raise in some other manner or save in some other matter is a dollar we don't have to raise in property taxes. And certainly property taxes are high enough. People are hurting. Especially in the current environment of uncertainty with a lot of people have lost a lot of money in the last few weeks. Hopefully they'll gain it back in the next few, but we don't know. And I think we've done a real good job.
Looking at the last 4 years and with that in mind, what are some of the I don't want to say best, but the best achievements of the comptroller's office through your first term?
The greatest hits. You want the highlight reel.
The greatest hits, Kevin.
You know, certainly the one that's gotten the most attention is the clerk's audit. We found an employee who had stolen $320,000 from cash receipts in the office. And there was an investigation as a result of our audit and a conviction, and that employee is now in jail. And I don't take any great glee in that. I mean, it's the whole situation is sad, but it happened. And we were able to recover that money, less the $25,000 deductible from the insurance company. In addition, while in the clerk's office, we found a counterfeit check drawn on the clerk's account that no one had picked up on for another $326,000. And we were able to get that back. We also found $181,000 in mortgage tax revenue that was inappropriately distributed, and you know, we're in the process of getting that straightened out. Now, that got a lot of attention, and it got a lot of attention because it was, you know, me versus the clerk, me versus Mickey, and there was conflict there, and the media loves conflict. You were doing your job. You got us on the show together, and we were shouting at one another.
It was we replayed that episode 3 times.
It was an instant classic, you know, like some of the Buffalo Bills games. It was an instant classic. But you know what's lost in that is the fact that Mickey and I were able to work together. You know, we recommended to some improvements in his office, that he hire a couple of accountants because he had no accountants in his office. And he put in for them, and the legislature kind of resisted a little bit. And then we wrote a letter to the legislature, and we lobbied the legislature, and he got those positions. And he got them early, before the new budget year began, because we said he needs it early. We also helped him get new software. He wanted a big, new, expensive software package, because we had recommended in the audit that he get one, because it was, his software was inadequate, as much of the software in a lot of government agencies is old and dated. You know, this isn't just the clerk's office. And we helped them get that. So I think there was cooperation, and in the end, we worked together to make the department better. But again, that was in the press because the media picked up on it and they played up on the conflict. What's gone under the radar are the, you know, people think it was just doing all on the clerk, and it was Democrat versus Republican thing. No, we were doing audits of the administration. Early on, we did a audit in the health department, one of their contractors, and we found $720,000. That's $720,000, you know, as much or more than we found in the clerk's office, that they overcharged for COVID services. We filed a report with the legislature. I think it got reported on in the Buffalo News, maybe, but no one else picked up on it because there was no conflict. You know, no people shouting at another. Same thing with our audit of the law department's indigent defense services. There was over $500,000, maybe closer to $1 million, in money that we were able to point to that could be recovered there from either state reimbursement that hadn't been applied for, or money that was due us from, the Legal Aid Bureau for money that we'd advanced them and hadn't gotten back. I mean, these are the things, and I get it. One of the things is that in 3 years, in 3 months in office, I have had exactly zero press conferences. I haven't called a single press conference to beat my chest and to announce these good things we're doing. We kind of like to make the job boring and go about and quietly do our work. Eventually, you know, I mean, when we do file stuff with the legislature, the media, oftentimes led by the Buffalo News and Sandra Tan, will pick up on that, and they'll publish a story, then everybody else will pick up on that, like they did with the clerk's office. These other cases, it didn't happen. Now, I've had zero press conferences. During that time, I think I've appeared at 4 press conferences for other people. Most recently, Congressman Kennedy's press conference about Medicaid, where I didn't even speak. I was there with dozens of other public officials, you know, worried about Medicaid. Because if there are cuts to Medicaid, and, you know, Democrats say there can't help to be with the budget that's brewing in Washington, and Republicans say don't worry about it, I don't know how this is going to shake out. But if Medicaid, if there are cuts, that's going to hurt a lot of people, including the county government. It's going to hurt hospitals like ECMC. It's going to hurt nursing homes, and we're going to have a mess on our hands, which is why I was there. Again, I didn't speak, but I was there. But I'm not out there calling press conferences and tweeting and, you know, a handful of press releases maybe. We've also done a lot of good work on the investment side. We've made, as of the end of February, I think we had like $75 million in investment income that we've made for the county, taking the money that, you know, we're holding and aggressively investing it and getting returns on that. Prior to my coming into office, the budget for that was like, you know, we were bringing in like $200,000, I think, was the budget for that. Now, that's before the Federal Reserve started raising interest rates, obviously, and that had a lot to do with those figures. But also, even before the Fed started raising interest rates, we were meeting with banks, making banks compete, something that wasn't done when we came in. And again, that's something else we're proud of. But again, I'm not going to have a press conference and spike the football. When I had my first press conference, I want media to show up, and you'll know it's serious because I haven't done it.
Kevin, early on in your term, you did put out a warning to the legislature about fiscal responsibility and spending. Have they yielded to that warning? How is that in your eyes towards the end of this first term?
I think they're taking it seriously, and you know, given the events of the last couple weeks, we're having internal discussions in my office about whether I need to draft or when I need to draft another letter to the legislature. Normally, I do it right before they begin their budget hearings for the following fiscal year. They begin their budget hearings around November 15th. So about November 9th, November 10th, I'll send them a letter saying, you know, this is my analysis of the county executive's proposed budget. These are some things you may want to be looking at, questions you may want to be asking, and, you know, this is my take on it. And I've done that in my first 3 years, and I'll do it again. The question now is, do I have to say, I mean, in the office, we refer to it as my doom and gloom letter. Am I going to have to send something like that mid-year to them? And the answer is, I'm not sure yet. We'll see what happens in the next few weeks. We'll see what happens with the New York State budget. You know, until the New York State budget is passed, we won't know what's in it, or more importantly, what's not in it for county governments. And that's going to have an impact on our current budget, let alone our next budget.
You know, we hear about how the county and being dependent on so much federal money. I know you mentioned Medicaid. What else is, and I know this isn't a campaign question, Kevin, I'm sorry, but what else does the county depend on federal funds for?
Well, there are certainly things like social services, whether it's temporary assistance to needy families, or as you mentioned, Medicaid. I mean, that's a huge part of it. And there are grant programs in a number of departments. So, we're heavily dependent on that. But you know what we're really heavily dependent on, which people don't give enough attention to, is sales tax. We get about twice as much money every year. We rely on twice as much money every year in sales tax as we do on property tax. And the problem is, sales tax, if the economy should go south, and there are, you know, signs that it's slowing down, people are talking about recession, whether it goes into recession or not, I'm not sure, but certainly is slowing down. And then we've got the additional problem now of Canadian tourists. There's been a lot of attention given to this by the media. How much is that going to affect us? We don't know. I mean, we don't know what we don't know. But we know that there are Canadians who are upset with America, and they won't be coming here as often. And that's going to affect the sales tax revenues. So as a result, we've got to keep a close eye on that. And if that goes south, you know, then we could be in real trouble here. And that, again, is something we're keeping our eye on. And at the appropriate time, if necessary, we'll let the legislature and by extension everybody else know that we think there may be a problem.
Earlier this year, Sandra Tan wrote an article, you mentioned Sandra Tan, of the outside audit of your office and the recommendations. How is that now in April? What's the reaction and what's the response to that look like?
Well, I think this is every 3 years, regardless of who is comptroller, we do an external review of our auditing division. And the interesting thing, I think there were five findings. One of them, since the three-year period overlapped administrations, some of this was the previous comptroller, Stefan Mihailu's administration, and then I think the last 2 years were mine, there was some overlap there. I mean, one of the five findings, as I recall, dealt only with what was happening previously. We fixed it when we came into office. And the other ones overlapped, And one of them, maybe two of them, we had fixed by the time the audit was done. It took us a year or two, but we got it done. And the other two were kind of current. We're still, they were minor, but there were problems. And we thanked the external auditor for their opinion and for pointing this out to us. Because we want to become better. We know we're not perfect, but we strive to do better. And this was pointed out to us, and the problems have been remedied.
The Granville settlements, 4 weeks ago, you told Channel 2 that money should be clawed back for taxpayers. Any progress in that?
I think everybody's waiting to see what Internal Affairs does in the City of Buffalo Police Department. City of Buffalo, I think this week, has a committee meeting in which they're going to discuss it. I know the county legislature, not this coming week, but next week after Easter, I believe it's the 24th, has called for the sheriff and the budget director. I think we're invited also to discuss it. I have taken some steps. I'm not going to talk about them now to try to preserve our ability once everything comes out, and depending on how things shake out, to get back as much of that money as possible.
Kevin, we had Christine Czarnecki in here last week. She's your opponent on the GOP side. Any chance that we'll see a debate between the two of you before Election Day?
That's up to whoever wants to sponsor the debate. Certainly, I've never shied away from a debate, and I'm sure there would be no reason for her to do so either. So I would welcome that.
Now, looking at Christine Czarnecki, before she made her official announcement, she did point out, and maybe you could just put this to end, because it's been in the news, the check that was put in the Buffalo News with the accounts and everything on it. She brought that up, right, to the Buffalo News. Your thoughts on that, and has that issue been taken care of?
Well, to answer your last question first, yeah, it's been taken care of, because I've directed our staff not to release a check or to redact information from a check in the future. Whether it was a big deal or not, I'm told that it's not, that information is available on any check. Anytime you pay anything by a check, any bill by a check, your account information is on there. Even so, I take that criticism seriously, and out of an abundance of caution, we won't be releasing any information like that in the future. We'll be open to press inquiries when we, under the Freedom of Information Law, we get requests from the media. We try to respond to them quickly, and we will continue to do that, but we will in the future redact such information. So, as I say, out of an abundance of caution, there's no reason not to redact that information, because I don't think it's necessary for the public to know it.
What's the campaign trail look like for you, Kevin, these next few months?
I've been out most nights. There are a lot of fundraisers for various candidates out there. There are a lot of events we're going to. It's a very busy year, obviously. And, we're going to be raising some more money on our own, obviously, because campaigns are expensive.
Now, as the comptroller, this is our number one question texted in. I got access to the text board after not having it for a week. So this is our number one question texted in, Kevin. And, the first few months of this year, we have seen the county executive in D.C. twice, Albany twice. Are those county-funded trips?
Yeah, yes, of course they are. We fund trips by a lot of county employees, including the county executive. People in a lot of departments go to a lot of meetings in Albany, in Washington. And I think a case can be made that's good for the county. If they learn something and they bring it back, it benefits us.
All right. Well, Kevin, before I let you go, because, we also talk politics nationally, you and I, just your thought from, your side of the political aisle on national politics and just the scene of national politics in April of 2025.
Yeah, I think we're living in historic times, and in a way, many ways, they're very scary times. I mean, we saw, the whole tariff thing in and off and on, and it's very harrowing for a lot of us to watch it as we watch our 401ks, or in my case, a 403b drop, and then come back. We hope that things work out. Certainly, the tariffs, I think you can make a case that tariffs, targeted tariffs on things like automobiles, are long overdue. There should have been more movement in this direction in the past. But the widespread tariffs and the changes of course, the markets don't like uncertainty. And if you're trying to get American manufacturing back here, if that is indeed the goal of these things, then you have to say, okay, we're going to put a tariff in and we're going to stick with it. You can't change it around, three times in 2 weeks, because I'm not going to build an auto factory or anything here if I have the money, if I'm not sure that tariff is going to be around for a while. So I think we have to have a better idea of what the strategy is here, and we have to stick to it.
Final question. I asked Jack O'Donnell this question last week. I'm going to ask you, with that in mind, with the tariffs and the reaction, and you're starting to see some numbers slip for the president, do you think, with midterms in mind, that Democrats are acting the right way on a national level?
I'm ambivalent. On the one hand, you say they should be doing more. On the one hand, you think, well, maybe not, then they'll get blamed for it. I mean, Democrats are all over the place. Doesn't appear to be a common strategy. So I think it would help if they could all agree on what that strategy is. But then again, they're Democrats, and that's not a Democratic thing.
Erie County Comptroller Kevin Hardwick, he is running for re-election against Christine Czarnecki, who you heard last week. And Kevin, if you guys want a place to debate, Hardline is always here for you. Great talking with you, and let's go Mets.
Let's go Mets, Joe.